Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the General Electric third quarter 2012 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. My name is Chanel, and I'll be your conference coordinator today. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a conference coordinator will be happy to assist you. If you experience issues with the slides refreshing, or there appears to be delays in the slide advancement, please hit F5 on your keyboard to refresh. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the program over to your host for today's conference, Trevor Schoenberg, Vice President of Investor Communications. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chanel. Good morning and welcome, everyone. We are pleased to host today's third quarter 2012 earnings webcast. Regarding the materials for this webcast, we issued the press release earlier this morning, and the presentation slides are available via the webcast on our website at www.g.com/investor. As always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and are based on our best view of the world and our businesses as we see them today. Those elements can change as the world changes. Please interpret them in that light. For today's webcast, we have our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt, and our Vice Chairman and CFO, Keith Sharon. Now I'd like to turn over to our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt.
Great, Trevor. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. Look, we had a good third quarter in a challenging environment. Europe's tough. Asian resource-rich countries are okay. And the U.S. had pockets of growth, but still some uncertainty. Revenue growth was good in the environment, with organic growth up 8% in the quarter and 10% year-to-date. We finished the quarter with $203 billion of backlog. Earnings were solid, growing at 13%. Both industrial and capital had double-digit earnings growth in the quarter. Every industrial business had positive earnings growth for the first time since the third quarter of 2005. And our simplification efforts are yielding results, with corporate costs ahead of plan. Margins grew by 70 basis points, consistent with our expectations. CFOA is up 63% year-to-date, and we've repurchased $3 billion of stock. Importantly, in this environment, we remain on track for our 2012 framework. For orders were $21.5 billion. Just some context for orders, factoring in some of the big items. They were up 4% ex-wind and excluding the impact of foreign exchange. Orders pricing was positive for the quarter and year-to-date. The down cycle in wind is as expected, and gas turbine orders were fairly strong. We saw about $1 billion of orders push out from third quarter to fourth quarter, and our backlog position is strong as we enter the fourth quarter and facing into 2013. Our key growth engines remain on track. In fact, every industrial business had positive organic growth in the quarter. Growth markets expanded by 9%, including China up 23%, Africa up 22%, and Latin America up 21%. We expect 6 of 9 growth regions to have double-digit orders growth in 12. We have the highest services backlog in our history with expanding margins, and we've launched successful products, including the Flex 60, new subsea technology, and new appliances, and our new aircraft engines are winning high market share. With our investments in place, we should be able to sustain a solid growth rate into the future. Our margins are a good story, growing 70 basis points to 14.4%. We had expansion in every business, including energy, if you exclude the impact of our wind business. The fundamentals remain strong as we finish the year. Our value gap will be positive in both 2012 and 2013. We remain on track for $2 billion plus and structural cost out through our simplification efforts. And we're able to do significant restructuring in the quarter. We're on track for 100 basis points of improvement in 2012 and 2013, in line with our plans. Cash is a decent story with year-to-date total of $10.7 billion, up 63%. The dividend from capital is a positive story for investors. Our industrial CFOA has been pressured by an unusual equipment build, but should have positive growth in the fourth quarter. We're executing our capital allocation plans. Year-to-date, we've paid out $5.4 billion in dividends and bought back $3 billion of GE stock. Our balance sheet is very strong, and we end the quarter with $85 billion of consolidated cash. Now over to Keith to review operations.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm going to start with the third quarter summary. We had continuing operations revenues of $36.3 billion. That was reported up 3%. Ex-FX revenues were up 6%. Industrial sales of $24.7 billion are up 7%, up 10% ex-FX. G Capital revenues, $11.4 billion, were down 5% as we continue to reduce our assets. and our operating earnings of $3.8 billion were up 10%. Operating earnings per share of 36 cents were up 13%, and you can see the 13% excludes the impact of last year's third quarter preferred stock redemption commitment, which you'll remember was an 8-cent reduction in equity. Obviously, not having a repeat of that results in the huge V's here. So operating EPS is up 50%, continuing and net EPS are up 43% and 50%. Continuing EPS includes the impact of non-operating pension, and net EPS includes the impact of discontinued operations, which I'll cover on the next page. As Jeff said, year-to-date cash of $10.7 billion was up 63%, including the dividends from GE Capital. And for taxes, the GE rate, 21%, is consistent with the low 20s rate we forecast in the first two quarters, and the year-to-date rate is 22%. The 4% GE Capital rate is consistent with the mid-single-digit rate that we forecast at the end of the second quarter, and we continue to expect to finish the year with a mid-single-digit GE Capital tax rate. On the right side, you can see the segment results with total industrial segment profit up 11%, and it's great to have all five industrial segments delivering positive earnings growth. GE Capital also had another strong quarter with earnings up 11%, so overall a strong segment growth quarter. I'm going to cover each of the segments in more detail in a minute. Before I get into those business results, I'll take you through the other items from Q3. As we mentioned at the infrastructure investor meeting, we had 3 cents in one-time benefits related to the gain from NBC Universal. The majority of the benefit was driven by the A&E transaction. NBCU sold its remaining 16% stake in A&E, and our share of the gain was 3 cents after tax. We also had 3 cents after tax of restructuring and other charges in the quarter. These charges related primarily to continued cost structure improvements in energy, healthcare, aviation, HMBS, and GE Capital. We also had a charge in the quarter related to the planned disposition of one of our plants, as well as costs related to the acquisitions. On the bottom of the page, there was a minimal net impact from discontinued operations in the quarter. We resolved an outstanding item related to the plastics disposition that resulted in a 1 cent gain at the parent. And for WMC, we had $1.3 billion of claims come in 3Q. That's significantly less than the second quarter, but higher than we had previously expected. And that resulted in an after-tax reserve impact of $78 million in the quarter. So overall, the EPS and one-time benefits and costs were relatively offsetting here. So next I'm going to go to the businesses, and I'll start with energy. Before I get into it, this is the final quarter that we're going to be reporting energy infrastructure on this basis. And so for the fourth quarter, we'll be reporting the three new businesses after the reorganization: power and water, oil and gas, and energy management. And later this quarter, we'll be providing you with a historical data recast into these three businesses so you can begin modeling on that basis. Let me look at the total business. I'll start with energy first. Orders of $6.5 billion were down 17%. We've said it before, but the impact of wind is huge here. Ex-wind energy orders were flat year over year. Equipment orders of $3.4 billion were down 24%. Again, ex-wind equipment orders were up 11%. Thermal orders of $1 billion were up over 160%, and we had orders for 29 gas turbines versus 16 last year. Renewable orders of $518 million were down 72%. We had orders for 241 wind turbines versus 781 last year. Total equipment order pricing was down 1.4%, with thermal down 2.6% and renewables down 4.2%. Year-to-date thermal order pricing is positive 0.8%, and our estimate for the total year is about flat for thermal order pricing. Service orders of $3.1 billion were down 3%, driven by the declines in energy management. Down 8% driven by the declines in energy management. Power generation services of $1.7 billion were up 1%. Revenues of $8.9 billion were up 17%, driven by the strong volume growth. We had equipment revenue of $5.5 billion, which was up 30%. We had renewable revenue of $2.1 billion, which was up 61%. We shipped 1,014 wind turbines versus 633 last year. Aeroderivative revenues of $679 million were up 84% on higher units. We had 44 units this year versus 31 last year, and also larger units. Thermal revenues of $1.6 billion were down 19%, driven by lower balance of plant revenues, lower pricing, and foreign exchange. Service revenues of $3.4 billion were up 1%, driven by power and water services. And segment profit of $1.2 billion was up 11%, as the benefits of all that strong volume and our services strength more than offset the lower pricing. PowerGen Services operating profit was up 15% in Q3. Now, we've been breaking out the impact of wind because it masks the remaining business performance. If you take a look in third quarter for energy ex wind in total, revenues would be up 8%, segment profits up 20%, and margins would have been up 146 basis points. Oil and gas, they had another great quarter. Orders of $4.2 billion were up 7%, up 12% ex-FX. Equipment orders of $2.3 billion were up 10%, driven by growth in turbo machinery and subsea systems. We had $300 million of orders for the Cheniere LNG project. We had over $200 million of orders for the West-East pipeline projects in China. And we also had over $500 million of order pushouts for two projects that we were working on in Angola and Brazil. Service orders of $2 billion were up 3%. Up 7% XFX, and the orders price index was up 1.7%, the sixth consecutive quarter of positive price for this business. We added $500 million to the backlog in Q3. Revenues of $3.7 billion were up 4%, up 11% XFX, and equipment revenues of $1.9 billion were up 2%, service revenues of $1.8 were up 6%. Segment profit of $534 million was up 18%, driven by the strong volume growth and lower costs, which were partially offset by negative foreign exchange. And overall, that resulted in 1.7 points of op profit expansion. So another good quarter for the energy and oil and gas and energy infrastructure in total. And our current estimate for the energy infrastructure segment is that profit growth will be about 10% for the total year 2012. Next is aviation. Orders of $5.2 billion were down 8%. Commercial engine orders of $918 million were down 51%. When you have backlogs of 2 to 7 years, depending on the engine model, you know, we're going to have some quarters with tough comparisons. We also had over $500 million of commercial aviation order pushouts for two customers in Asia this quarter. Military equipment orders of $1.1 billion were up 104%, driven by transports and Navy F-18 fighters. Service orders of $2.6 billion were down 11%. Our third quarter spares average daily order rate was $22 million per day, which was down 18% versus last year. But it's up from the second quarter, and it seems to have stabilized. We continue to get pricing on new orders, with total orders pricing up 2.3% in the quarter. Even with the tough order comparisons, overall book-to-bill was 1.09, with both equipment and service up over 1. Revenue of $4.8 billion was down 1%. Equipment revenues of $2.3 billion and service revenues of $2.4 billion were both down 1%. We shipped 520 commercial engines versus 565 last year. And in the quarter, we shipped 25 Gen X units versus 28 last year. Segment profit of $924 million was up 7% as the benefits of positive value gap and lower costs more than offset the impact of the one-time gain last year from the sale of our rings business. The business improved operating margin rates 150 basis points in the quarter, and if you exclude the impact of last year's gain, op profit would have been up 17%, and op profit rate would have been up 270 basis points. Transportation, the transportation business delivered another great quarter. Orders of $1.2 billion were up 21%. Orders pricing was up 0.6%. Equipment orders of $561 million were up 28%, driven by higher international locomotive kits. And service orders of $666 million were up 16%. Revenue of $1.4 billion was up 9% on strong volume. Equipment revenues of $781 million were up 5%, driven by off-highway vehicle equipment, which was up 55%. Partially offset by lower locomotive revenues, which were down 13%. We shipped 146 locomotives in the quarter versus 169 last year, and we're on track for our total year estimate of 650 units. Service revenues of $627 million were up 16%. Segment profit of $265 million was up 35%, driven by the positive value gap and also lower costs. And our op rate here increased 360 basis points in the quarter. Next is healthcare. The U.S. market was a little tougher than expected in the quarter. Orders of $4.6 billion were down 1%. They're up 3% ex-FX. Equipment orders of $2.6 billion were also down 1%, up 3% ex-FX, driven by the developed markets down 5%, partially offset by the emerging markets, which were up 9%. Just some of the numbers on orders. The U.S. was down 6%. Europe was down 11%, driven by Southern Europe. China was up 19%. Middle East, Africa, Eastern Europe were up 31%. India was down 17%. By modality, CT was down 4%, MR was down 9%, life sciences was up 3%, and ultrasound was up 1%. Service orders of $2 billion were down 1%, also driven by Europe down 12%, and revenues of $4.3 billion were down 1%, or up 3 points FX adjusted. Emerging markets were the strength here, up 13%, offsetting the developed markets, which were down 4%. Segment profit of $620 million was up 2% as the benefits of the volume growth and cost reductions more than offset lower pricing and some inflation. As a result, operating profit rate was up 40 basis points in the quarter. On the right side, Home and Business Solutions delivered positive results despite a continued tough environment. Revenues of $2.1 billion were up 1% as appliance revenues were up 9%, offsetting the lighting revenues, which were down 9%. For appliances, we're seeing some contract channel strength. Contract channel revenues were up 22%, driven by housing starts, and retail sales were up 1%. Pricing is up, and year-to-date share is up about 1.1 points. And the new products continue to be well-received in the marketplace. Lighting continued to see volume pressure in both the U.S. and Europe. And overall for the business, segment profit of $61 million was up 61%, driven by the higher pricing, which was partially offset by the material inflation and the lighting lower lighting volume. So next is G Capital. Mike Neal and the team delivered another very strong quarter. Revenues of $11.4 billion were down 5%, in line with assets, which were down 7%. Net income of $1.7 billion was up 11%, driven by improvements in real estate, as well as lower marks and impairments, partially offset by higher credit costs and, of course, lower assets. We ended the quarter with $425 billion of ending investment, a quarter ahead of our target, and we expect any to continue to decline further in the fourth quarter. Our net interest margin was 4.9%, up 50 basis points. And there are more details on G Capital and capital levels in the supplemental deck that we posted this morning. On the right side, you can see the asset quality metrics were stable in the quarter. 30-day delinquencies were down in mortgage, driven by improved collections. And they were up in our U.S. retail business, driven by normal 3Q seasonality. Delinquencies were close to flat in both real estate and CLL. Volume was up 2%, driven by consumer volume up 5%. Commercial volume was down 5% as we continue to originate at strong returns. Non-core NE was down about $6 billion in Q3 versus Q2. We're substantially done with our 2012 long-term funding. Our capital position strengthened in the quarter, and even after paying $5.4 billion of dividends, we ended Q3 with Tier 1 Common of 10.2%, up 56 basis points. For some comments by business, I'll start with CLL. Commercial lending and leasing business assets were down 8%. We continue to reduce our non-core assets, including third-party funding for Penske and the SECO disposition. Commercial volume in the Americas of $7.2 billion was down 3%, while we maintained our pricing on new business to earn over 2% return on investment. Overall earnings of $568 million were down 17%. That's driven by lower assets. It's driven by one loss, a $32 million loss on one account in Europe, and it's driven by continued pressure in Italy, about $20 million. Even with those items, our European business earned over $40 million, and the Americas earned $545 million, which was flat with last year and up 3% from the second quarter. For consumer, our consumer assets were down 3%. It's driven by runoff in Europe and Asia, partially offset by growth in U.S. retail. Earnings of $749 million were down 7%, driven by higher retail reserves in the U.S., the impact of lower assets in our non-core business, partially offset by the $80 million gain we had from our selling our 7.6% of our whole stake in Bay, the bank in Thailand. The U.S. retail business earned $445 million, which was down 4%, as the benefits of higher assets and better margins were offset by the higher loss provisions due to additional segmentation of the portfolio more in line with industry standards. Our core European business earned $119 million, which was down 3% on lower assets. For real estate continued to deliver positive performance in the quarter. Earnings of $217 million were up $300 million from last year. They were about flat with Q2. The earnings improvement was driven by lower losses and impairments, tax benefits, and higher core income. During Q3, we sold 165 properties for $1.7 billion, realizing $121 million of after-tax gains, up $55 million from last year. We continue to shrink our real estate book as well. Assets of $55 billion were down 14% versus last year. They're down 4% versus Q2, and in addition, we closed the business properties disposition in October, which will result in another $5 billion reduction in Q4. Next is GECAS. GECAS had another very good quarter. Earnings of $251 million were up 21%, driven by higher core income, partially offset by slightly higher impairments year over year. Net impairments this year were $135 million after tax versus $107 million last year. Portfolio quality continues to be strong, with only $50 million of non-earnings and only three aircraft on the ground. Energy Financial Services earnings of $52 million were up 67%, driven by asset sales. $132 million driven by asset sales. We completed $600 million of volume in Q3 at approximately 5% ROIs. So overall, another positive quarter for GE Capital. You know, as we look at finishing the year, we think the $1.7 billion net income from third quarter is a good proxy for the fourth quarter outlook. We expect lower GECAS impairments. We'd expect not to have the Bay gain repeat, and we'll continue to have a loss of earnings from the shrinking assets ahead of schedule. So, you know, that's kind of our view for third quarter look at run rate into fourth quarter. With that, let me turn it back to Jeff.
Great, Keith, thanks. Look, on the operating framework, we really have no material changes for the 2012 operating framework. We're on track for double-digit earnings growth in total and for both industrial and financial services earnings. Our outlook for the industrial segments remain in line with our September meeting. You can see in the corporate cost line that our simplification efforts are working and sustainable, and we're lowering our estimate for the year to $2.8 billion based on third quarter performance. CFOA is on track, and industrial organic revenue growth has been about 10% year-to-date, and we expect it to be about 10% for the year. We believe that capital revenue will decline about 10% based on E&I reduction ahead of plan. So total revenue for the entire company will be up about 3% in 2012. So to summarize, let's recap the big factors for our investors and how we performed against those objectives. Industrial earnings growth results remain positive. This is fueled by good organic growth and momentum and margin enhancement. And, you know, as I've said earlier, the simplification efforts really are generating results. We're executing our plan with GE Capital, making it smaller, more profitable, and restoring the dividend to the parent. And we've returned $8.4 billion to investors year-to-date through dividend and buyback. We're executing a balanced capital allocation plan of growing dividends in line with earnings, value-creating buybacks, and bolt-on acquisitions in the $1 to $3 billion range. The GE team continues to execute in a volatile environment. We expect to continue to outperform in 2012 and 2013.